absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Day on the East Coast, 10 a.m. as always. You're talking to JT, a.k.a. the Master. And guess what? This is the Master Plan. Number to call in, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Also have a chat room open for your convenience. Ask a question, make a statement, whatever you want to put in that. Understand this, and like I say this all the time, whatever show I'm on, I'm hosting, I talk about the chat room like this. What you put in is what you're going to get out. So if you like to bring it, expect to be brought back to you. Be right back.
Up and down.
Once again, here we go on a Sunday morning. I got a great show in store for you today. We're going to talk about some basketball. Quite naturally, one of my favorite sports is football. And a surprising thing that happened in basketball, if one thing, and it's really in tennis. I'm going to talk about this tennis. I don't normally talk about this tennis, but this is something that you don't see happen too often, and even shocked her when it happened. So we're going to talk about that and whatever else happens to pop into my mind. We do a lot of impromptu on Sunday because that's what we like to do. We like to make it be spontaneous. I don't like to have anything really scripted on Sunday. Whatever hits my mind and I start ranting off and about, that's what you're going to hear. Later on, as we get in, more into the summer, especially in the middle of July, into August is when the training camps start. I start talking, gearing up for hopefully what you want to hear from me about fantasy football. I got two shining trophies in front of me that I won last year, and I don't want to give them up. And hopefully I can get you some trophies that you'll be gloating about come January. Or the end of December when the fantasy football season ends and you can relax and watch football with your trophies and watch the playoffs and whoever wins the Super Bowl. So hopefully I can get you on that journey starting in the middle of July and ending in sometime around Christmas time. That'd be a Christmas present, a nice shiny new trophy that you won from your fantasy football league. Anyway, that's we're just talking and ranting on a little ahead of time, but I just want you to understand I'm not discounting the rest of the year, but my whole focus, for the most part, I like sports, and ever since I've been playing fantasy sports, especially fantasy football, My thing is fantasy football. I love fantasy football. I love the competition. I love the maneuvering, even the trading. I do a lot. Like to do a lot of trading. Like to do a lot of back and forth with people in trading. Sometimes I get willing partners. Sometimes I don't. I'm not a guy that really, you know, I'm the type of guy when I do a trading is win-win. Okay, I'm not. I don't have to win and get the best of somebody in trading. I'm for the most part. Like to get a good feeling from each party in a trade, from my side and the side I'm trading with, to get a good feeling so that we both benefited. We just had the wrong, in our opinion, we had the wrong players on our team, and we just swapped players. So I'm not really looking, you know, quite naturally the competition, you want to win a trade. No, but I'm not looking to win a trade, and you shouldn't. I know a lot of people, competition, they want to win a trade, they want to win, win. But the most beneficial trade, the most trades that are beneficial to you are the ones that both parties are comfortable with and both parties feel they got an even deal. So down the road, if you supposedly or if they supposedly ripped you off in the trade, they'll find it very hard to come back to you to try to do another trade. So remember that. One of the things no one ever taught me this. I taught this myself. Never burn your bridges because you never know when you have to walk back across that bridge. So, and that always, I relate that to a lot of things in life, and including fantasy football and trading. You don't try to burn somebody in a trade because you may be looking for that person to make another trade with, and if you burn them the first time, they're sure going to be leery and not want to go down that road again. So remember that. And that is very important. I understand that you want to win a trade, but you have to look at the value of your players from a neutral eye, if you can. And not try to rip somebody else, but try to get equal compensation and realistic equal compensation. That's what I'm talking about, and I went off on a little tirade, but that's okay. And, you know, we got time here. There's other things I want to talk about, but I had to get that out of there. I hit my head, and I really wanted to get that out of there. And it doesn't have to be necessarily football. It can be baseball, fantasy basketball. People play fantasy hockey, whatever. Whatever it is. If you're doing trading, you don't have to try to rip somebody off. Get both sides comfortable with what they're going to get, and then you may have a trade partner again. But if you gloat, if you say I got you after the trade, don't even expect to go down that road again because no one's going to be, that fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, fool me twice, shame on me. So it's that type of mindset. Anyway, first thing on the docket, let's talk about this. This has happened in Wimbledon, England. Now, I know I'm going off the grid here because I don't normally talk about this, but this is significant because this is the number one player, in my opinion, and a lot of people's other opinion, number player in the world. I'm talking about Serena Williams. Got ousted out of Wimbledon's third round on Saturday and was beaten by Elise Cornet. She beat the 5-time Wimbledon champion, 1-6, 6-3, 6-4. It was Serena Williams' earliest loss at Williams' earliest loss at Wimbledon since she exited in the same round in 2005. This is a quote from Serena. I mean, this is a quote from Cornette. I can't believe it that I did it myself. The number one Williams rolled off, let me put it this way. Cornette, the 25th seed from France, could barely find her legs when her players returned from a several-hour rain delay that locked at 1-1, 40-40. So they were playing. They had to postpone playing for a while with rain delay. They were deadlocked at 1-1. And the third set, they were at 40-40. Then the number one Williams rolled off the next five games. So Venus is up in 6-1, and then they go to the next one. But the emotive French woman, her belief growing with every stroke, fired away on returns and ground strokes and mixed in the occasional short ball as an agitated Williams failed to find the form that had earned her 17 Grand Slam titles. In the next two sets, the 32-year-old American fell behind 5-0 and 5-2, looking tentative and passive and failing to employ the veracity and power that have marked her career. She closed to 5-4 in the final set, but an emboldened and soon-to-be ecstatic Cornette served out the final game at Love. A quote from Williams: "I think everyone in general plays the match of their lives against me," which is, come on, Nina, come on, that goes without saying. Suggesting that opponents raise their level and swing with nothing to lose as if they were on the ATP tour. Well, come on, Venus. You're number one. You got 17 Grand Slam titles. You think you're not going to get the best? Try to get the best game from everyone. She couldn't serve her serve didn't help her out either. And Williams, who hit a Wimbledon record 102 aces on her way to the 2012 crown, fired just three against Cornette while committing seven double faults. She landed only 66% of her first serves and won just 30% of her second serve points in the match. Cornette had already beaten Serena once in 2014 in the semifinals at Dubai, but this was a much bigger stage. This is a quote from Cornette. "Well, it's amazing because beating Serena two times in a row, it doesn't happen very often, so I'm glad." Now, if you have watched this aftermath of when she won, she was off the hook. She was beside herself. Let me put it this way. She didn't hide her excitement. That's for sure. It was the fact that there was this zero reaction. Let me put it this way. It was evident Williams was not in the right frame of mind when she trailed early in the second set. The quote from her coach: "The fact that there is zero reaction is a very big indicator that she's not there at all. She's pushing the ball, expecting mistakes. She's not going to win this like this, I know." He said she was not in a good space, and he didn't know why. And another quote from this is his coach, Patrick Mortaglagu. "Definitely since January, she is not there. She's not herself. She's an average player if she doesn't have the mindset that she usually has on that court." Cornette, who's 9 years younger than Venus, said she once disliked grass but finally decided to embrace it and improve her forehand beforehand, which has been a weakness on the service. I don't know. There's something going on with Venus. Maybe personal. Who knows? While Venus Williams leaves London with plenty of questions and shaking confidence, Cornette hopes to pucker up again if her run continues when she plays number 13, Eugenie Bouchard of Canada next. She kissed the court. She was jumping. I mean, you had this 24-year-old. She beat the number one player in the world. This is the second time she played her and the second time she beat her. Maybe it's one of these things that and I'm not saying this is the case, but it could be, that a certain player has another player number. That, you know, number one player in the world has an Achilles. And this could be one of the Achilles. It could be this player. What's her name again? Her name is Elise Cornette. Maybe Elise Cornette has her number. But this is a surprise. 9 years since she's been ousted out of the third round and take away the first set, and Venus got her butt whooped. And got taken advantage of. She didn't come to play mentally, and it showed. All right, let's move on to the NBA, which is this is one of the craziest stories I can recall. For the simple fact is that this has got to be one of the craziest ones. Let me just go this way first. I'm looking at something here, people. You want to go this way? How do we want to go here? Do I want to go here? Did I save it here, or did I save it on the other PC? I think I saved it on the other PC. Anyway, let's go this way. And when I read this, I had to read it again, and because I was in a little bit of disbelief that this was really taking place. I wanted to make sure I was reading the right thing when it got brought up, when I saw it on the screen All right. Headline is this, and this is from USA Today, which is dated yesterday. Nets give Jason Kidd permission to talk to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Brooklyn Nets, with first-year coach Jason Kidd in the helm, went to the playoffs with a 44-38 record and a second-round playoff loss to the Miami Heat in his first season, has been granted permission to speak with the Milwaukee Bucks after losing an apparent play to gain more control in the team's office. A person with the knowledge of the situation confirms the details today. The U.S. Today Sports spoke on a condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity surrounding the situation. Now, Jason Kidd is supposedly have a strong relationship with member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and wanted more control in the Nets organization. And like the, let me put it this way. The next organization is reportedly done with Jason Kidd, and they are discussing compensation with the Bucks to hire him away. The compensation will likely include a second-round draft pick, according to sources. Kidd has 3 years left on an original four-year contract worth $10.5 million. While Kidd isn't looking to take over the Bucks as president and head coach, he is intrigued by an executive role that has higher compensation and is involved less with the day-to-day operations. Kidd was reportedly annoyed by the big paydays that newly hired coaches Steve Kerr and Derek Fisher receive, and both are set to make more than Kidd, and that could be what sparked the whole fiasco in the first place. Jason Kidd and the co-owner of the Milwaukee Bucks have a close relationship. Mark Lazary, have a close relationship. So it's probably with the combination of him not being not having the same or not making the most out of the first two-year coaches, meaning Steve Kerr and Derek Fisher, and him wanting to have more control of the in executive side of the organization and the Nets, that this could be a a Mark Jackson type of thing, and I'm not saying it is, but it smells of that. He may not play well with the others in the the Nets organization, and this may be something along that. Let me read this here. The Milwaukee ownership group that was headed by Wes Edens, and Mark Lazary, bought the Bucks for $550 million, and Lazary's previous venture may help explain an unexpected turn of events. Lazary, who is a billionaire hedge fund manager from Morocco, was a minority owner of the Nets before becoming a majority owner with the Bucks, and is known to be close with Jason Kidd. The Bucks issued a statement on Saturday night saying through a media relations official, "We're not going to comment on rumors or speculation." Billy King, who is the general manager of the Nets, has held his current position since July of 2010, and he led the way in the hiring of Kidd last summer when he made the immediate transition from his playing career to the bench. Kidd's start was nothing short of awful, as the Nets lost 21 of the first 31 games, and he had a long-standing conflict with lead assistant coach and former Nets head coach, Lawrence Frank, that led to his demotion, Frank's demotion. Brooklyn salvaged its season from there, but it's appearing extremely unlikely that Kidd will be back for a second season. And the story was first reported in the New York Post. Now, I don't know. I mean, where does it stop? Where does it stop? You get these guys, and here's a guy, just not even a month, not even weeks out of being a player, pushed into a head coaching job, and now we can all see he has a huge ego. And he turns around his first coaching, head coaching, or at coaching at any level. He turns it around from a debacle that it started with, losing 21 out of the first 31 games, and then getting a decent record, a little over 500 record, which is fine, and getting his team into the second round of the playoffs, which is very good. Now, it looks like he may not coach the team the next season because his ego, and I have to think this is a player's ego, that he wants more money and maybe not to coach, or not sure if he doesn't want to coach, but he wants more power. And he hasn't paid his dues. What, paying his dues because playing the game? Jason Kidd's only coached one season. Now he wants more money and a bigger position, and the Nets won't give it to him, so he may go somewhere else to get it. I don't get it. Makes no sense to me. You got to be kidding me. Where is this going? Where is the loyalty for one? I understand getting a paycheck, but when is it too much money? Just because Steve Kerr and Derek Fisher got hired to these organizations and are making more than Jason Kidd now. Now Jason Kidd, he signed a four-year contract, or three or four-year contract, whatever it may be, for a certain amount of money. And now, because guys that hired this year, he wants to make more money because I guess he feels slighted. Come on. You got to be kidding me, right? You only did a head coaching job 1 year. 1 year does not make you a Hall of Fame coach. 1 year doesn't make you the best coach in the NBA. I don't understand the mentality of some of these people that they feel that they're entitled to certain things. I understand a lot of these guys have big egos, A personality, alpha males. I understand that. But, come on, you got to have some common sense. You got to, come on, I mean, I don't understand it. If you sign a contract, 3 to 4 year contract, whatever it may be, for a certain amount of money, okay, now, and you did a decent job, but you got to lay down some type of groundwork. You only coached 1 year. And some people may say that 1 year may have been a fluke. Come back and do it again. Do it again over a period of years. If you're a good coach, you're going to get paid to go to a different spot. But after 1 year, you want out because the things that you've done, you're getting pretty much shown the door because of your attitude, because of the way you act, because you can't get your way. You want to take your ball and go home? Come on. You know, if this happens, it apparently is true because it's been more than one news source. So apparently is it true? So I can't say if it's true. I'm just saying if it happens, you better hope this is a very good coaching. You better hope this is a good position for you because it may be the last. Because word gets around that you don't play well with others, that your ego gets in the way of gets in the way of things, you won't get another job. Plain and simple, you will not get a job because no one would want to deal with that. And that's what I think is going to happen to Mark Jackson. He did a hell of a job when he was with the Golden State Warriors, but his attitude or the way he dealt with some people in the organization in Golden State rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And you have to think, word like that gets around, especially through ownership. And if ownership doesn't think that you can do anything to help the organization, or it would be detrimental to bring you into the organization because of your attitude or the way you treat people, they won't do it. You may be a hell of a coach, but if it's going to disrupt your organization and bring your organization down in a certain way, a lot of owners won't do that because the fact is coaches are hired to be fired. So sooner or later, you're going to be leaving that organization. And if you came in and was a disruptive force and screwed up the organization for a while, when they bring in the next coach, it's going to take that much longer to rid that mindset, for one, and to turn around the organization, attitude and whatever, and the trust level because of what happened in the previous regime. So, and I'm bringing this full circle, so I'm saying to Jason Kidd, I know you have an ego. Everyone has an ego. I know you have a Hall of Fame basketball playing career, but don't think because of your playing career that you have the same amount of weight when you are in the coaching ranks, because you have to prove yourself to be a capable coach. 1 year at this level coaching doesn't mean that you have a capable year. I mean, a capable capacity to coach NBA players. Yeah, you did a good job. You turned it around. There's some conflict in your coaching staff, but you still turned it around. Okay. Who's not to say that it wouldn't have been done with anybody else? So, was it a fluke? Was it the coaching, your coaching expertise, or what? You only did it for 1 year. 1 year. So was it a fluke? We don't know. Because the fact is, you may be moving on to Milwaukee because sounds like you wanted more money and you wanted more power. And that wasn't happening on both fronts. So you were going to try a way to move on. And this can help the Nets, help and hurt. Jason Kidd won't be coaching the Nets, and the Nets will get possibly a second-round pick try to recoup some of the picks they gave up when gave up some first-round picks. But we'll have to wait and see what's going to take place. It's a wild... I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Anybody? You got a question here? I mean, not question. You got a comment? Call in. You can call in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, where winners play and players win. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. And you know what? Is it around here? Right back.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Watch me!